My name's Claire. I'm a compulsive overeater, bulimic restrictor, orthorexic, amongst other many qualifications that I could give. I was thinking about how I'm going to share on this meeting today. It's a little different from other shares that I do. I'm going to run through a brief milestones, not all recovery related, milestones in my life. The first milestone is I was born, which was nothing short of a miracle. My parents struggled to conceive. They took 4.5 years to conceive me. It was very much wanted. They took another 9 years to conceive my sister. So both of us were very much wanted, and doted upon. And for the first part of my life, that it was all kind of it was kind of groovy, until I hit my teenage years at 13. Things went a little bit, excuse my language, but shit shaped. And I found bulimia. I found bulimia as a result of throwing up randomly after a sexual assault, and all of my feelings got vomited out of my body along with all of the food. And that was my solution. That was my solution, for decades. Next milestone, that went on and got worse and worse and worse with other addictions, rearing their ugly heads along the way. At 18, my next milestone was I got driven to I was found in a church, completely suicidal, by the vicar's wife, and after a few days of looking after me, she drove me into town and dropped me off at the town hall and said, "This is where you belong." And it was a fellowship meeting. She said, "These are your people. This is where you belong." The seed was planted, but it didn't really happen. Next milestone was my first rehab, where I acknowledged that I had a problem with food. Acknowledge I did nothing about it, and basically it was off, leave my food addiction alone. I acknowledge that I need help with my other addictions, but you're not coming anywhere near my food. That's mine. It's in a little box in the back of my head, and you're not touching it. In my third rehab, however, an OA share came in, and she stood up and she said, "My name is I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic." And I listened to her, and I felt compelled. I don't know why, but some reason I felt compelled to stand up in that meeting full of 50 people who weren't food addicts. Most of them were drug and alcohol addicts, and say, "My name's Claire. I think I might have a slight problem with food." And that was where I got my step one in my head. Took a while and a few meetings for it to sink into my heart. It did eventually sink into my heart, and I realized, okay, I've got my step one. Didn't know what to do about it. I felt completely and utterly hopeless. It did nothing to give me any kind of abstinence, but I knew that I was in the right place, and I did keep coming back. So after this, my step one hit my heart, in combination with my doctor telling me over and over again, "If you continue like this, Claire, you're going to die," and putting me into hospital like every other day. Telling me what I was doing to my body was killing me, and I was about to have a heart attack in my sleep and die, and I'm giving it all the denial. "I feel fine. There's nothing wrong with me." "Yeah, there's nothing wrong with you. You won't feel any symptoms of dangerously low potassium and sodium levels. You'll just have a heart attack and die in your sleep." Eventually, that kind of hit in, and I went into Gloucester to a face-to-face meeting. I went to my first face-to-face meeting. That was another milestone, my first ever OA. It wasn't my first ever OA face-to-face meeting, because I'd been forced to go to them while I was in rehab. It was the first one that I went to off my own back. I sought out an OA meeting, and I thought, I need to be here. That was a milestone. That was a big breakthrough for me. And I got my first abstinent day as a result of that. I left that meeting, and that was my first abstinent day. It was just one day. But it was one day. I got one day, so I knew that one day was possible. Fast forward a few years, I found footsteps. I actually found footsteps when I was in the hospital, back in the hospital again. And I remember coming to some of these footsteps meetings, and some people in footsteps remember seeing me, but I actually came on camera and shared in footsteps meetings, and it was kind of obvious I was in the hospital. It was like the drips and beepy beep machines behind me, but it wasn't going to keep me away. And by that point, I was like, this is where I need to be. I need to be in these meetings. And I found my home. And I kept coming back to Footsteps meetings. And I found a home in Footsteps, a home that I didn't find in my face-to-face meetings because they were too infrequent. But I knew on Footsteps that I could come at any time and I could pretty much see a lot of the same faces around every single day. And you lot became my family. Right from the beginning, you became a family. The next thing was the first time I shared. That was a massive milestone. The vulnerability that posed was huge, massive, massive for me. I'm the person who sits in the back of the room with my hood up, my face down, as close to the door as possible, trying to be as invisible as possible. And so I've got like the quickest escape route in the world. If you come anywhere near me and speak to me, I'm gonna run like hell. I know that I need to be here, but I do not want to be noticed. But you gave me that grace, and you let me sit in the meetings, and you let me find my feet, until I found my voice. And now I've found my voice. You can't shut me up. So my apologies for that one. My next big, big milestone was when I found my sponsor. And it was the right sponsor for me. Absolutely. She's without a doubt the right sponsor for me. She's been willing to work through all of my messed up, crappy, fucked up head shit. And I've got a lot of issues, and they're very complex. And the fact that she's been with me throughout these years, through a lot of rubbish, has just been unbelievable. That's a higher power. That's a higher power job that I found my sponsor. I love her to pieces. Yeah, nothing else to say about that. In my first year, I remember getting my first 1 year coin, and a lot to do with that was finding my purpose, and that a lot of that came through actually finding service. I got involved in I took my time getting involved in service. I started out on one meeting and kind of slowly worked up to level of service that I need to do now. But in the first year, that was what pulled me through the first year, was service and purpose and the connection that I got through doing that. Working the steps in my first year, remember my sponsor saying to me when I got to my step 12, she said, "You know what you've got to do now?" I said, "Yeah, I've got a rate in the chat available to sponsor." And that scared the life out of me. Available to sponsor. I can't sponsor anyone. I've got no experience, strength, and hope. I spoke to somebody a long time in the program in a workshop, and he said, "Claire, do you have a copy of the big book?" I said, "Yeah." He said, Do you have your abstinence?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Have you got experience, strength, and hope?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You're ready to sponsor." I was like, "Okay, if you think so." My second year was really difficult. I lost my dad. He was my rock, my absolute, total and utter rock solid, best cheerleader in the world, my best friend, most important person in my life. And I lost him, and that was going to be the one thing that I thought, if something could really rip my recovery apart, that would be it. I really thought there's no fucking way I can get through that. I came to meetings and I shared and I cried and I got angry and I went through the grieving process in these rooms with you guys. And I didn't relapse. And I was like, whoa, that's probably the biggest milestone that I've ever got through, is to get through that without relapsing. In this last year, I'm not alone in saying this. We've lost quite a few people, and that's been really difficult. So that adds to the grief. gotta hug this one at the moment. It's been a really tough last couple of months. New challenging service positions as well. And also difficulties with my physical health issues as well that I've been trying to deal with. So these are all milestones that I've got through as a result of relying and leaning really heavily on this program, on the steps, on the traditions, on the concepts, on the meetings, on my fellows, on my sponsor, on my higher power. And without all of that in place, without this program in place, there is no way I'd be sitting here right now saying this came through the mail the other day. 3 years. And to this day, I have absolutely no idea how we got here. I don't know how all the promises happened, but they did. And not just all the promises happened, more than the promises happened. And I like to say to people, like they say, don't leave until the miracle happens. Well, I say, even when the miracle happens, please don't leave, because there's so much more. There's so much more to receive. There's so much more to come. There's so much more to be revealed. This program is an absolute miracle. From day one of stepping foot into this program, everything has just in fits and spurts, not all at once. I haven't got it all at once. I haven't always got it in the time that I wanted it in. But when I look at myself in the mirror now, I do not recognize the person I see. I don't recognize the confidence. I don't recognize the self-esteem. I don't recognize self-acceptance. I don't recognize, I just don't recognize who this person is, compared to who this person was not that many years ago. It's a complete and utter, it's a transformation. I don't know what else to say. It's a total transformation. I don't know how that happened. I just know that this program performs miracles. And if you stick around in this program, then the miracle can happen for you. And I've run out of words and gone slightly couple of minutes over time. So I'm going to leave you there. Thank you so much for being here and listening to my rambling share. Thank you. Love you all.